So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday guided meditation. If anyone is intending to go to the introductory class, that's actually in the next room down there. Okay, so you all want to be here. That's good. So before we begin, I guess I'll talk just a little bit about, different ways we can approach meditation. And even if we've been meditating for a long time already, sometimes we can just play around with different spins or angles and how we approach it, and that can help keep it fresh. I was thinking of, an experience which I'm sure all of us have had. Have you ever had, a kind of conversation with someone where you're trying to just explain a situation or whatever, an experience you had, and somehow you just didn't really feel heard or like understood by the person who was listening? Well, were they listening? sometimes you can be face to face and they can be sitting there, but somehow it seems that what you were trying to say didn't quite get across, or that you didn't feel that they actually gave a sense of sympathy or empathy for whatever reason, maybe because they didn't understand your experience, but you just walk away feeling a little bit like you weren't heard. And and sometimes that's how we approach our meditation also. Actually, meditation is a chance for us to really listen to our own body and our own mind. Really listen to find out what's actually going on with it right now. And to be able to hold that with an openness and also with a sense of kindness and sympathy and empathy for what it is our body and mind is feeling. And you've probably also had that experience where you have talked to someone and you feel they're really listening to you and what you say without, judging it or having an answer back or a reaction or anything. They're just holding the space and hearing you out and just letting you express yourself in the time you need and how you need. And because they've held you that way with that openness, you feel a relief. You feel a kind of release. Somehow you just feel heard and understood. And you feel peaceful and rested and calmed and soothed by that experience. So this is the same thing we can do for ourselves, because, sometimes when that kind of good listener isn't available at that particular time for you, you can go back to your own room and do it for yourself and be that sympathetic friend to yourself. Because that's the beauty of learning how to meditate, is we learn how to offer that open listening ear to our own experience of our body and mind. Because oftentimes we think, just because we're sitting quietly, we think that we are listening to our body and mind. But actually, don't know about you, but certainly I've experienced this. You're actually talking either at your body and mind or talking to your body and mind, which is in the form of instructions and commands and demands, where it's like, you should sit up straight. Why aren't you sitting up straight? Quiet. Shut up. Why are you still talking? Actually, do you know what I want to talk to you about? And then you go on some sort of like ramble, your own thing, when actually that's not listening. That's talking at yourself. And also, it's not allowing yourself to actually be with the experience as it unfolds. And it's actually interfering with your ability to tap in to that experience and see what it is your body needs, what it is your mind needs. Because you're too busy talking at it or talking to it in a way that's not very helpful. So why don't we try to learn how to listen to ourselves? Because when we learn how to listen to ourselves, that's how we learn how to listen to other people. Because we're really no different. Whether we're listening to a person in front of us who's someone else, or we're listening to the person who's sitting right here, it's the same kind of attention that's helpful. It's the caring attention. And first of all, it's the attention where you're actually tuned in to what's happening for that person right here, right now. So when we think of it as listening, meditation as being a kind of way of developing the art of listening, the skill of listening, it trains us in something we're actually not trained in to do very much in life. Especially in our education system, we're taught how to read and write, to talk and speak, to question, to debate. But actually, you know, I don't recall ever being schooled in how to listen. And that's actually a very important skill. And it's not actually that hard. We just need to try to devote some time and a kind of directed motivation in learning how to listen. So, let's just try to do it, because what's the point of talking about listening? Let's actually try to listen. So if you're already seated down, or maybe I'll give a couple more seconds for people who just walked in. So rather than just telling yourself a particular set of steps to do, just close your eyes. And tune in. Tune in to your body right now and listen to it. What part feels comfortable? What parts might need to be shifted and moved? Me too. Can you arrange your back so you feel like you're alert but not tense? Where do you place your hands? You can ask them, where would you like to be? How would you like to be? Facing up, facing down? Ask it and listen to what it wants. Same goes for your legs and your feet. Not every sit has to be the same. For right now, ask them, how would you like to be arranged? And then do so. And then listen to the signs that are written in your face and the muscles of your face. Do I feel tense? Is there actually some tension being held there? And what would help to relax that? Listen to what it tells you. You can ask your mind, how do you feel right now? Are there any particular thoughts or worries that are filling you right now? And what would help you release them, at least for this 40, 45 minutes that you set aside for meditation? Maybe you can ask whether we can talk about it later. Let's not talk about that stuff right now, but maybe later. Have any emotions or the residue of them somewhere in your mind because of something that happened earlier today or earlier this week or even this month? Just give it some space to express itself. You don't have to shove it aside to be able to sit meditation. But this is the chance to offer a listening ear and let it express itself, unburden itself. Let it speak to you without interrupting it. And let it express itself in its own way. So it's a little funny, but if you can imagine listening to the physical sensation of that emotion as it chooses to express itself somewhere in your body, it could be anywhere. And just listen. With a sympathetic attitude. Because when it feels it's been heard, it'll move on its own. And at this point, you might ask your mind whether it feels like being with the breath and everyone is different. If it doesn't, that's fine. Ask it what it wants to focus on. But if it does, then you can also imagine, rather than watching your breath, to listen to it. And your breath is the kind of friend that is very soft-spoken. So you really have to lend your ear to be able to hear your breath. So listen closely, but without straining or tensing, but just prick up your ears a little bit to listen a little closer so you can really hear your breath as it goes in and goes out. It's almost like when you're listening to a friend and their voice lowers in volume, but you really care about what they're trying to say. So you lean in closer to try to hear them and understand. So as your breath goes in and out, or might become more subtle, then try to listen as closely as you can. So that you can hear her. Hear what your breath is trying to tell you. Out of care. if at any point you catch yourself starting to talk to your breath again, or whatever you're focusing on, just remind yourself, oh right, no, I'm trying to listen. I'm here to listen. And just listen. So as we're getting close to the end of the meditation, you can ask your mind, how does it feel right now? And how is that different from when we first started to sit? You can ask your body the same thing. You can reflect on what just happened. How well were you able to listen? Did you find you experienced impulse to talk rather than to listen? Or to listen not quite fully attentively? What helped you be able to listen more closely? And what made it more difficult? So you don't have to rate yourself, but just try to learn the cause and effect of how your mind works. And you can just pose these questions and listen to what answer comes up. And finally, before we end, we can just take a moment to share whatever peace or quiet, stillness, or space in our minds that we feel from our meditation. We can share with all beings, wherever they may be, whoever they may be. May it help them to likewise experience some peace, some calm. May they be able to experience the release and relief of feeling heard and understood. So with that, I'm going to ring the gong 3 times. And on the sound of the last gong, you can gently come out of your meditation and open your eyes. So now we have some time for some questions. So maybe people in the room are just fresh from meditation, you don't feel like saying anything, that's fine. There might be some questions from the internet we can start with. Thank you. Oh, that's all right. Okay. Wonderful. Everyone's so peaceful. And they are so good at their meditation. They have no questions. So this is wonderful. Maybe we can sit for another 15 minutes.
It's a question about skill and learning, specifically learning to listen to yourself through meditation. In the process of just being in the stillness, how do you, I guess, record and learn to remember certain things about cause and effect, you know? How, like, say, certain situations agitate yourself, like how do you record when you get into specific states? Like say, do you like write it down in a journal or something like that? That would be my question for you. Does that make sense?
Not entirely clear, so let me try to reflect back your question. So are you asking, like when you're done with your meditation, how do you sort of go through the process of reflecting back and remembering those experiences so you can learn about it, and you're suggesting would help writing it down in some kind of meditation journal help? Is that
your
question?
Yes, that would be my question, yes.
Yeah. I remember once having to, everything has pitfalls. It can go both ways. You could try and see if that helps you. Like, see if somehow the act of jotting it down and writing it down sort of imprints that in your mind. There's only one way to find out is to try. But let me just share one pitfall that I experienced when I took this meditation class once, where the teacher asked us to like email him a report of our daily sitting every day. And so during the daily sitting, I'm like trying to think, what am I going to write to him? Like taking down notes in my mind, what am I going to say to him? So sometimes when you have that thing kind of job later on where I'm going to write this down, that can happen. So I'm just warning you, but I'm not saying that has to happen. So you could just try and see if that helps you. But I think also our minds are amazing in that when we're actually really present to our experience, there's some kind of recording going on already. And the reflection at the end is just more to draw it out. Like we've actually been learning as we're doing it, but it just gives you a space to actually direct your mind to reflecting and drawing out those learning experiences. And I think somehow, because after that one experience of jotting stuff down, I never did again. But over the years, I feel I still have, not in any particularly like clear way that, oh yes, this learning I got from my May 7, 2021 sit or something, but somehow over time, some repeated patterns in how you deal with your mind or the experiences you have while you meditate, from the process of reflecting, it somehow there's some kind of memory bank in your mind somehow that it comes together. So I would say it's possible to do it even without writing it down. But you could try, because I actually haven't done it very much, so I can't really say whether or not it could help. So, and each person is different. So certainly the thing is to experiment with what works for you. And if you want to come back and report back to other people your experience, then that would be great. We can learn from that too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the question.
Mm-hmm. I feel I always struggling of sitting, and my back feel pain. I don't feel comfortable, and so is that necessary? You have to have a certain posture when you do your meditation, or like that. I just feel so difficult for me to sit the way I think it should be, like sit still and like that.
Right. There's only one posture that's necessary, and that's a comfortable posture. So this is the thing about, you know, this is a great example of how we don't actually listen to our bodies, or if we do, we listen to it and we say, no. The thing is, we start out with this idea because, you know, that's how you see the Buddha statues and the pictures of people meditating and those like yoga commercials, whatever, you know, they're always sitting in these like certain postures and you think, oh, that equals the proper posture. But you've got to listen to what your body at that moment needs. And if you're finding that sitting on the... Because, you know, our bodies keep changing, too. Just because today you can sit on the floor and it feels comfortable doesn't mean tonight you can sit on the floor and it's comfortable. Even a few hours makes a difference, or even 5 minutes makes a difference. So if you're sitting on the floor and you find it's your body is protesting and it says, ow, this is, like, so painful, then actually it's very difficult for your mind to become peaceful because you're so distracted by your pain that you can just move to a chair or move your posture so that you sit in a different way. It's not always the case that half lotus, full lotus, whatever is like the secret to success, especially if half lotus and full lotus is excruciating for you. So you can, you know, you can experiment with even cross-legged. You put your feet front or back or whatever and just find what works for you at that sitting. And that's most important because what you're developing that way is not an intellectual idea about what's a good posture. It's an experiential knowing of what's a good posture. And that's what meditation is about, is developing the experiential knowing of what is useful. So when we're with our ideas, that's what I mean by talking at it. No, you're supposed to sit like this on the cushion. You're supposed to be able to sit like this to be a real meditator. When actually listening to your body means, okay, where do you hurt? What's gonna help that? What's gonna make it worse? What's gonna allow me to sit 45 minutes with greater peace? And then your body's gonna tell you, it's gonna say, move to a chair, please. And rather than say, oh, stop being a baby, you heed its call. And then your body will thank you. And then when your body's actually more comfortable, then your mind will have a greater chance of settling down because it's not so busy, like at odds and fighting with your body. So,
great.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. There's one here. Should I take the internet one then? If there's nothing else here. Okay. I'm not exactly sure from what country this is, but it says, Dear Ajahn, my feet, toes cramp after just sitting for 10 minutes, crossing my leg. Should I change my position by sitting on a chair? Oh, okay, similar. A universal problem. Yeah, right. Well, okay, if your feet, toes cramp, yes, you can shift them. Like, you can try shifting them first before you move to a chair because maybe it's just a minor adjustment you need. And also, thing is, though, there is a balance, though, I have to say. Let's give a more balanced answer because one extreme is being, this is like classic, you know, Dhamma Chakkappavattana Sutta, you know, the extremes of like, you know, being too hard on your body and torturing it, and the extreme of indulging in sensual pleasures. So in this sense, it's like, you could be too hard and be like, no, you must sit through this pain. But then again, you could also be too permissive and indulgent, being like, oh, a toe cramp. No, we can't have that. We shall immediately move. So you kind of have to be straddling that in a good way. And I'm not saying the balance is anywhere exact. It's not like, okay, there's a rule. You sit with the pain for exactly 2.5 minutes, and then after that, you're allowed to move. I mean, it's not quite like that, but there is something where it's like, but you can't give in so quickly. So okay, your toes are starting to cramp. Just stay with it for a little while, see if there's any actual changing. Is it a kind of cramping where it's just a minor thing and then it releases on its own? Or is it like getting worse with each, you know, passing 30 seconds, minute, 2 minutes, and it's just getting worse? Then move. Or sometimes when you're sitting cross-legged, at first it's not very comfortable. But see, okay, first time it protests, you're like, no, okay. Just see how we go. Second time it protests, just see how much you can adjust and see if it works. And if really after doing that a few times, it's really just too much for you to bear, then move to a chair. But it's also dangerous to get in the habit of just at the slightest little complaint or squeal or squeak from your body, then you immediately, release it. Then you're never actually going to learn about the impermanence of these sensations and get over the fear of them. That's what the thing, we move because we fear that this is going to be debilitating, this is really going to cause me injury or something. And so basically, we're not able to be with our more uncomfortable feelings with a sense of equanimity. So it's important to develop that too. But I guess it's really up to each person to know what's that right balance. And unfortunately, there's no way to find out until you make mistakes wrong way, either way, going too far this way or that way. So over time, we each learn. And we keep having to adapt because our bodies keep changing. And also our capacity to tolerate discomfort keeps changing. Over time, we hope that it's improving. And so then that right balance is always shifting, and that's the art of meditation, is learning how. That's wisdom. That's the mindfulness to know what's happening and the wisdom to know what's appropriate. So that's a really great, rather than think of this as being an obstacle to your meditation, this is actually a great ground for learning. It's good grist for the mill. This is actually a very practical issue you can work with to develop those qualities of mindfulness and wisdom. So this is great that everybody's experiencing toe cramps and knee pain, because that's how we're gonna learn mindfulness of the body and mindfulness of feelings. So that's my answer for that one. And we're getting to almost quarter past, so that's probably a good time to finish up. So thanks everybody for coming, and hope you enjoyed the meditation. So now let's bow together.